Welcome to Not Over, Just Different. I'm your host, Natalie Ledwell, founder of Mind Movies, the ultimate personal development tool to visualize and achieve your greatest life. This podcast is for women who are looking for inspiration and guidance as they navigate the changes that come through moving through the various stages of life, or for anyone asking themselves, who do I want to be? Now, on this transformational show, I'll be talking to inspiring people from all walks of life about their stories of how they faced and overcame life's challenges in powerful ways. These are raw, candid conversations, often not shared until now. We'll be discussing topics like health, relationships, life's transitions, aging gracefully, and learning to see life from a fresh new perspective. We explore what it means to continually grow and evolve as your world changes and live a fulfilling life. As well, we'll provide you with amazing tools and resources to help you move through change with courage and resilience. So if you're ready to take the plunge and start your journey to becoming your most powerful, authentic self, then join me, Natalie Ledwell, on Not Over, Just Different, for insightful conversations about how to tackle life's new chapter. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the podcast for this week. This week is especially for you if you are being challenged with having way too many things on your plate, if you're burning the candle at both ends, if you're feeling overwhelmed and heading towards burnout, or you may already be there. So I want to welcome my special guest this week, Amy Mongeta. Hi, Amy. How are you, honey?
Hi, Natalie. Great to be here. Love your podcast. So I'm excited to be on it to chat more about burnout today.
Awesome. I think this is such an important subject for us to talk about because, you know, I think as women especially, we have so many different hats that we wear and so many things that we have responsibility for, you know, whether it comes to the household and careers and everything else that's going on. And I think that sometimes we don't realize we're heading into burnout until we actually hit rock bottom. Yeah. So I'd love to hear a little bit about your story and what inspired you to write your new book, which is called The Path to Break Free from Burnout. So yeah, what started you on that path?
Yeah, you couldn't have queued it up better actually when you say rock bottom. I'm actually a four-time entrepreneur. And if I look back, you know, I've always been like a chaser of busy my entire life, right? Multiple sports in school as a kid. And then I had my son early. I was working two jobs very early on. And so I've always kind of been like, go, 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 go. But the past 4.5 years, I actually owned an email marketing agency. And while on the outside, I looked like the epitome of success, right? Year over year growth, managing all these big client names, just doing it all, like juggling. I got the kid taken care of, just all the things, running marathons. Inside, I was literally depleting my body battery. And I think that's where we really have to stop. And when we think of burnout, I love to use the idea that it's like your body battery drained because you're literally not restoring energy this entire time, right? And so I think along the way, our body's whispering to us, mine was, it started with this like autoimmune rash. And of course, my doctor didn't sit me down and say, hey, how's your stress levels, right? Yeah. He just said, well, I need you to take this shot twice a month and you have an autoimmune disease. And then the next time my body whispered, it was this emotional breakdown during a marathon where I could not stop crying. And all I could think about was how I wasn't fulfilled in this empire I was building. And then lastly, the third time my body really did scream and I actually got sudden hearing loss in my left ear. The nerve just blew out. My body had attacked itself. And when we did the blood work, we saw that my white blood cell levels were like 4 times the amount and the inflammation in my body was incredible. And so, yes, like you mentioned when you queued this up, my story is the same. It was very all decisions leading up to being too busy, not recovering my energy, go, 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 go. And it led me to a very dark place of depression. That feeling like you're trapped and you cannot get out. So what's the use? And then you hit the rock bottom and you're forced to make the change. So for me, it was like reconnecting with my authentic self and being like, is this even what you want to do? Are you fulfilled? It meant selling my business. It meant healing myself. And when I was healing myself, I sort of documented the journey, and that is the product of the book.
Right.
So I'm so excited. I've been now able to, you know, work it into some leadership workshops to test the framework. And I'm so excited to have it available to everyone out there.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Because, you know, I can find myself at times, because, you know, I also juggle a lot of different things as well. Wow. And you know, and then I also, as one does, takes on huge projects that are way outside my comfort zone. And I will have moments of like of overwhelm. You know, and I, like I said to you, I've got a little bit of the flu today, and I honestly know, like, I'd never get sick, but I know that when I do, it's my body going, whoa, 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 you need to just take a rest today, take some time out. So I mean, and you've mentioned a number of different signs. I mean, yours were pretty drastic, but surely there are some smaller signs that women can, or anyone who's listening to the podcast can relate to. So what are some of those signs so we can get an idea before we hit rock bottom?
My goal, nobody hits rock bottom.
Right. No.
That's the goal. There are actually some telltale signs, especially as I do research in organizations. I'd say the one you just mentioned, when we are used to like having, we have a pretty healthy like lifestyle, we don't really get sick. Usually the cue when you do get sick or you have that sudden like malaise feeling where you're just exhausted, that's probably a sign where you might want to backtrack the last few days or the last few weeks and just ask yourself, is my workload been a little bit more? Have I had time to replenish my energy? I know that happens a lot when we do like extensive, like those work travel trips sometimes, you know, and we're juggling all the things. We do get that feeling. I think another one is like headaches that come on at a similar time each day. A lot of times we're like, oh, it must be that I'm staring at the computer too long. Well, yes, that might be, but that's also a cue that you need to go step away from the computer and restore and refresh. I'd say two other ones that are very common. One of them is stomach or digestive issues. I notice a lot of my clients and those that I talk to suddenly have this onset, like they can't digest food the same way, or they're feeling sick eating certain things. And they always say like, I'm eating so healthy. What is the problem? So that's usually can be a trigger of like inflammation. And then lastly, one that creeps up, you know, a lot is just so many people mention like, oh, I've got this like stubborn roll of fat that I can't lose on my stomach. I've done everything. I've even done cool sculpting treatments. It's still there. That's another like sign that you might have so much inflammation from constantly being in that fight or flight response that your cortisol levels are just causing that fat to stay.
Right. Yeah. And cortisol is something that we do not want to have a lot of.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many different symptoms that we can have because of cortisol and inflammation too. Like it's, I know we talk a lot about the types of foods that we should be eating to avoid inflammation. But what you're also saying is that, you know, this consistent level of stress that we put ourselves under can also cause a lot of inflammation as well.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. I've been really, obviously with the book and then just being in the leadership workshops lately, it's so interesting because our brain's almost ill-evolved, right? When it comes to this fight or flight response. And I think for a lot of women in particular, burnout does start like either in the work or in the career side of their lives, or like that work at home mom, because it's about like the amount of like effort and worth we get from our job or from that best mom badge we want to wear. But the problem is our brain and our body haven't evolved to being in fight or flight all the time.
Right.
We were conditioned right back in the day. That was a dangerous animal chasing us. And so because we're sitting in this fight or flight, we're dealing with these unmanaged bouts of stress coming from all different angles. That is where the depletion comes from. And that is where the energy reserves are simply gone. And we replace that with all of the stuff we're absorbing, which is inflammation, cortisol overload. And that's where we end up getting in that burnout syndrome, which is more on the health side of things.
Yeah. I mean, we are describing the mud. Like, if there is anyone that's listening to this podcast right now, they know when they're in overwhelm. Like, they know when they're being stressed out. So we don't have to, you know, describe more of that per se. And you mentioned earlier, which was something that was very interesting. You said one of the things that you did to get back onto track was to look at how authentic you were showing up.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Let's talk about that a little bit. Because how does that play a role in our stress levels?
Yeah, I think it's such an interesting question. I do get it a lot. And I actually have a very big part of my book that's dedicated to this. So I think, you know, somewhere along the line, we all are probably guilty of this. We kind of leave our authentic self somewhere like on a rest stop and we just keep driving the car. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that we start to want to, let's say, meet our boss's expectations. We want to meet our expectations we think society says for motherhood. We want to be all of these things, but we're not living through our core values. And sometimes we lose what's the most meaningful to us. We lose those core values. We lose that foundation. And a lot of times we end up chasing the wrong things. And for me, it was chasing money and chasing this success status. And the truth of the matter is like, I never got fulfillment in that role when I sat down with myself and said, who are you at your core?
Right.
Well, you're an educator, you're a teacher, you're a coach. That's who I am. And so when I started to realize how misaligned my core values were to my current situation, there was a lot of power I got back in that moment, you know? Right. I also think with women in particular, we need to remember that every 5 years or so, it's okay to sit down and say, who am I right now?
Right.
What do I like? How have I changed? Instead of being like, oh, when I was in my 20s, I used to do this, this, and this. No, we need to embrace our change and be excited to try new things. And sometimes women have a stigma that, like, you know, if we try something new or we do anything, it's like it's a drastic thing, but like it's okay to change. And so I think that finding your authentic self is a huge power move when it comes to managing your stress and putting yourself in a position to make the right choices for your path.
Yeah. Well, you've just hit the nail on the head, because what we want when we're in our 20s and in our 30s is completely different to what we want in our 40s and 50s, like completely different. And in your 20s, you're okay to hustle. You go, I'll do what it takes, you know, and I maybe will go into something that I can do because I know that it's low hanging fruit and I'll be able to create an income from this, or this will be great. But just because you go into a business or a career, it doesn't mean that you have to stick with it for the rest of your life.
Yes. I know. And that is the question I get all the time, is just like, well, I've been doing this for 25 years. I can't stop. And it's like, well, why not?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. And people are like, but I've been doing it for 25 years. Like, then that's just a waste. I'm like, no.
Oh, never.
Reframe that a little, because that is not the case, you know. Okay, I want to pause for a moment to ask you this. When it comes to tackling important tasks, do you often find yourself putting them off right until the last minute? Do you often feel stressed and overwhelmed by what you should be doing and totally give up altogether? Are you constantly spinning in unproductive mental loops? Well, if you can relate, my good friend and mind expert, John Assaraf, and I are teaming up for a special online training where we'll show you exactly how to rewire your brain to eliminate the self-sabotaging patterns that are keeping you stuck right now. So if you're ready to replace procrastination with productivity, success, and fulfillment, then head over to notoverjustdifferent.com/masterclass to claim your free ticket. Everything that you've learned and who you have become through that journey, it's like someone different now. So what are your values now? What is it that you want to do now? And, you know, yes, like money is important. But when you realize and you do an assessment, like you were just saying, where you realize that your values are different, you go, okay, well, how do I still create an income, or how to create, you know, wealth doing this? Because this is what's going to feed my soul. And I think as we get older and more consciously aware, the feeding of the soul becomes even more important than the money, kind of thing.
And I love that you say feeding of the soul, because I think that is like a good bucket of stress where it comes from. If for whatever reason, what you're doing isn't feeding the soul, then it's simply like you've turned. I always say, like, I felt like there was a part in my career where I was a robot and I just woke up every day, put the hat on, checked all the boxes and left. And it was like, I was left exhausted with absolutely nothing given back, like no fulfillment. Feeding the soul is key, because you often don't feel as stressed when you're feeding the soul.
Yeah. So how do you, I mean, and I think what we're talking about here is like for women and people to just take time out so they can just reassess. Yeah. You know, you can't do the reassessment when you're in the stress, when you're still running on the treadmill. You can't do it from there. You have to actually remove yourself and have some time and some space to really think about this, because, you know, you may be wanting to make a career change or a business change, but it could just be because you're a little bit burnt out now. It doesn't mean that you're in the wrong thing. It's just like, you know, everything's too hard, so you just want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and that's not necessarily the case, right? So how do you recommend that people, you know, do that assessment on themselves?
Coming up for air is probably the hardest thing, for sure. But I get the question a lot, a similar way of just like, well, I can't, how do I stop the burnout? I can't quit my job. It's not a matter of that, right? It's a matter of saying, okay, what does the next 30, 60, 90 days look like? If you figure out who you want to be and where you want to go, you said it yourself. Maybe it's that you still want to be in this job and you like the company you work for, but you've got to like get all the stuff that's causing the stress. It might be boundaries at work. You've just got to put some boundaries in place, right? And get that calendar under control. So what I always like to do is just have folks take 1 hour in their week so they can break that up multiple times a day. Doesn't matter. And then they start to think about this future self roadmap. You've got to write it down. You've got to document, like, what are the steps I'm going to take in the next 30, 60, 90 days to reach X, whatever that X is. Maybe it's, I want to stay in this job, but I want to be less stressed. I want to, you know, here's I need to block my calendar. I need to schedule walking breaks. That's all we need to do. We need to remember that we're sketching this. Everyone always says, are you on the right path or the wrong path? We're just on our path, right? There isn't a right path. There isn't a wrong.
Yeah.
We're just on our path. And we're collecting all these lessons and things along the way. And so creating something ahead is the same idea. It's just, what does 90 days look like from now? And how will you feel a little bit better, 1% improved? And so in my book, I do have a QR code that's got like a future roadmap worksheet that people can work through that just says, hey, put a couple milestones down and just try to achieve them little by little. You're going to become stronger, more confident, even if you put the boundary in place that protects your time, you know? And the other thing I always suggest to people is being very conscious of when they come home, for instance, and they immediately start complaining to their partner about work. What are those stress triggers? Can we write them down? When we write them down, we become aware. Oh, change can happen when we're aware. And so then we can start to solution on those. Maybe the three you complained about actually do go back to you protecting your time at work. And all you need to do is put a boundary in place. So again, it's really just making people aware. For 1 week, I want you to be very aware of what you're complaining about. What are you stressed about? And then what does the future look like?
Right.
And it becomes like, I have people writing me like, this is just amazing. It's so simple. It just takes coming up for air and just being aware.
Yeah. When you're looking at the mess, then all you see is the mess. And not only do you only see the mess, but then all you see is anything that's connected to the mess. So you don't even get the opportunity to go, well, what is it that I do like about this job? Or what is it that I do like about this business? Because you keep focusing, expanding all the things that you don't like. So you and it's like a dog chasing its tail. Those thoughts in your head that just go round and round and round and round, they just do your head in. But and I like the idea of being able to write them out, because it means that you get to see them in the light of day and go, okay, right, I can see what I need to do here. Now, setting boundaries, I think, is something that we can all do in all areas of our life.
Yes.
So how do you walk people through that process? Because I think setting the boundaries is one thing, maintaining the boundaries is a whole other kettle of fish.
Yeah, and communicating them. So it's really interesting when I start with boundary work with folks, there's really the first stage for me is the pivot of like blaming others and changing that to say, I'm in control of my choices. Mm. That is our greatest power. We get to choose. And when I look back at my burnout, I'm like, wow, Amy, look at all the choices you made to put yourself in that situation. And I was actually blaming everybody else around me, right?
Right.
So the first step is really starting to say, like, what choices am I making every single day that align to the things that trigger stress? So usually I start with my clients, we make a stress trigger list, and we start to say, like, here are the things that literally just thinking about them causes that fight or flight response. I'm starting to get anxiety now. So we write those down. Then what we do is we prioritize them by not necessarily time, but energy. So what is actually wasting the most energy that you're not getting back and you're not able to replenish? And so we'll prioritize them there. Then the hard work comes, because we have to decide, in order for this to be solved, what is the boundary? So perhaps it's you are so overwhelmed because everybody, you have back-to-back meetings every single day and you can't do it anymore. You have no white space. Well, the first boundary you might think about is blocking your calendar, and those white space blocks become the meeting. That's the availability for meetings. So that's putting the boundary into place. I'm going to block my calendar and I'm going to communicate to my boss and my team that if they see white space on my calendar, those are my available times. We then have to think about, well, what about the issues that might come up? For instance, your boss says, oh, I went to your calendar and there's nothing available. So we have to be prepared for the ifs mm-hmm. and buts. So we work through that. And then what I tell my clients is that they need to just give themselves like a gold star every single day that they can do it. And we got to get through 30 days.
Right.
So it's just like, let's get the boundary in for 30 days, knowing that that's going to become a habit after that. And they're going to be so, so confident that.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of the process. But the other thing I'd like to just tell the listeners is you can't go New Year's resolution with boundaries. And what I mean by that is that you set all these unrealistic expectations that you're going to do like 17 boundaries at a time. We got to start with one, get real confident with that, build some of our resilience back, get some energy back, then we can start to tackle it.
Right. And looking at just one thing at a time, because I'm assuming there are other things that we can do on a daily basis, maybe even an hourly basis, that really helps us with our stress levels. And, you know, I think that if we go, okay, I'm going to start meditating and I'm going to start walking yep. and I'm going to start doing this, then I'm going to start doing some breath work, and then I'm going to set this boundary and I'm going to do all these other things. Well, then, you know, we're not setting ourselves up for success. And when you focus mm-hmm. on one thing, and be very diligent about that. And, I mean, if you do have a gratitude practice, you know, really giving yourself some kudos for being able to uphold the boundary, I think is really important. We've got to recognize and acknowledge ourselves for doing that.
You bet. You bet. And I love that you mentioned the facets of self-care, because it's funny, when I was writing this book, I was like, if somebody had this right now and didn't even feel like me, maybe they were just trying to prevent burnout.
Right.
Like, how would this need to be organized? And so it's funny you mentioned that, because I actually organized it in a way of like, you're on this path. And so the first stage is finding yourself, right? You've got to figure out who you want to be and where you want to go. And if this is the right job, isn't it? Yes, no, all that good stuff. But then it's next is the boundaries. You've got to really get comfortable with those boundaries, because the boundaries are what are going to give you the time and energy back. That's when you're going to start to be like coming out of the quicksand. But then it's like the book, I tried to organize it in that same way. Next, let's think about movement. Next, let's think about nutrition. Then by the end of this path, you're like, wow, look at all these new 1% improvements I've made in my life. But you're right. You cannot just go and change like it does not work well. And you'll set yourself up for failure, which will feel even worse if you're burnt out, because the shame is not a feeling we want when we're burned out.
And I think too, the boundaries is not just with our teammates and our bosses.
No.
But it's with ourselves, because you can put that free time on your calendar and go, but I should just be able to do this one thing. And the next thing you know, you're not the one that's maintaining your own boundary, because you're the one that's breaking it. You're like, no, we have to, you know, be really diligent about making sure that we, you know, we care for ourselves in that way as well.
Yeah, agree. And one other thing to that point is, if you are sort of a chaser of busy, like I am, I always say I'm a recovering chaser of busy, you have to watch where else in your life you might be chasing busy when you're making progress in one area.
Right.
So for me as a marathon runner, I would be like signing up for races, like insane amounts of races. And that was just me trying to get that quick feeling of like filling the calendar again. So when we're thinking about boundaries, to your point, we got to think about like the whole picture, personal, relationships, career, all of it.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite mantras that really helped me, because I'm what I would call GSD. I just get stuff done. I am one of those people. Give me something, I'll get it done. But my favorite mantra is, just because I can doesn't mean I should.
Yeah.
And I think this comes back to being very clear about what I want my life to look like, how I want my days to look like, making sure that, you know, and I can be a little spontaneous. So I can be a little challenged with the calendar. Like I'll go, someone will ask me to do something, I'll go, yes, that sounds amazing. And then I go, oh, damn it, I forgot to check the calendar. My partner he's like, seriously? Like all the time I do this. But, you know, again, like making sure that I get into the habit of checking the calendar, make sure I get in the habit of not always saying yes. I love to say yes, you know, in the moment, but also going, well, yes at the behest of what? Like, you know, especially since the pandemic, I'm not traveling as much. So I do have more time. So, you know, again, we don't want to be like getting into that habit of just filling the calendar again, because it can be a little bit of a, well, again, it's just us keeping our boundaries with ourselves, I suppose.
Yeah. And it's a sacrifice of energy every single time we say yes, right? Mm. We need to make sure that we're sacrificing that energy for things that will charge us, or at least give us something back instead of deplete us. And we also need to be careful about energy vampires and people in our lives that take too much as well. It's another boundary component for sure.
Yeah. So Amy's book is called The Path to Break Free from Burnout. Now, I'm assuming you can get it at Amazon and all good bookstores around the place. So make sure that you get your hands on that. And you don't have to be in burnout yet to be able to, you know, to really benefit from all of the information in that book. And I think that if you are someone who is fairly busy, like even when I was a kid, my mum used to go, God, you're always burning the candle at both ends. I'm like,
same.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know anything else.
Yeah, no, exactly. But if you are that type of person, then here are some safeguards and some like habits for life that can help you not kind of let life control you, but for you to be in control, which is so awesome. So, Amy, I want to thank you so much for your time today. You've been amazing.
Yeah, Natalie, it was a great conversation. I love chatting with you about it.
Yeah, awesome. All right, thanks, darling. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Not Over, Just Different. If you've been inspired by this episode and want to take the next step in your journey, be sure to check out our welcome pack. It's a great way to start your own personal development journey with the help of our amazing community. Next week, we'll be back with even more inspiring stories and practical advice for anyone ready to take on their next chapter in life, feeling fully empowered and full of passion for the journey ahead. And be sure to download and subscribe to the podcast by visiting notoverjustdifferent.com. Also, a 5-star rating and review makes a huge difference in helping us get the word out. We'll talk to you again next week. Until then, keep living your best life.